Welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of April 2nd. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and sweltering Melissa Hansen.
Yes, I am, in more ways than one.
So what has your week in entertainment looked like?
I actually went and saw 21 Jump Street.
Oh, cool.
Which was kind of cool because I went with my friend Trish, who's a friend from high school. So it was like about high school. And then obviously I watched 21 Jump Street, the TV show back then.
Right.
So it was fun going with her. And I really liked it.
Oh, all right. It's gotten great word of mouth. So.
It really has. It's filled with like sophomoric humor.
Yeah.
Like typical, you know, dick and fart jokes kind of stuff, which I kind of giggled at. But then every now and then there'd be this really smart joke and very like self-referential. And they like there was this whole thing they went on about how they're just recycling stuff from the past and expect us not to notice.
Yeah. Right. And so, being, yeah.
You know,
very
creation.
Meta.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that kind of stuff, which was really much more than I was hoping for.
Yeah.
Kind of stuff. And Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum are both excellent.
Nice.
In it. Channing Tatum, I really haven't seen much of his stuff.
Yeah.
And I was thoroughly impressed with his comedic timing.
Wow.
Yeah, definitely.
And this is skinny Jonah Hill, right?
And it's skinny Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
Still as funny.
All right.
As fat Jonah Hill, I think.
Okay.
and then it's one of the other stars is Dave Franco.
Oh, James Franco's brother.
Yeah,
brother.
James' brother, who actually, if you guys haven't seen it and you're not easily offended, need to go to Funny or Die.
Oh, God, yes.
And it's go F yourself, Dave Franco. And it's hysterically funny and completely, totally, hugely offensive.
And shot on the beach at Santa Monica. And, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyhow, so he's great in that, too. And, you know, there's some other names you'll definitely recognize. Ice Cube plays, like, the captain.
Oh.
It's the same plot line.
Okay.
It's, you know, it's the two of them instead of, like, the four police officers.
Right.
But they, you know, work at 21 Jump Street and they do high school undercover kind of stuff. And Ice Cube is their captain and that kind of stuff. And yes, there are some excellent cameos in it.
Nice.
For those of us that were fans of the original show. But yeah, it can be highly offensive, but totally funny.
All right.
I am surprised to say I recommend it.
That's still hanging in there. You know, it's still making money.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think, more than the sum of its parts.
Okay. Anything else?
Well, when I just wanted to talk about this briefly.
Yeah.
One of the trailers we saw.
Yeah.
Was for That's My Boy.
What's
Adam
that?
Sandler's new movie.
Oh, okay.
Which looks like the stupidest idea for a movie ever since Jack and Jill. And I like Adam Sandler, but I just don't get what he's doing now.
Oh.
The plot of this is Adam Sandler plays Andy Samberg's father. And he can do that casting, even though they're so close in age, because the plot line is he had him when he was like 13 because he got his teacher pregnant.
Ah.
So he was 13 and raising a child. So it's just, it just looks stupid and, ugh, just horrible. But the cast in it is like beyond. It's Susan Sarandon.
Oh.
Isn't it? And her daughter, Eva Marie, plays the younger version of her. But Will Forte is in it. Anna Gasteyer is in it.
Wait, and this is really funny because Susan Sarandon plays on 30 Rock a teacher who had a relationship with Judah mm-hmm. Freelander's character
yep.
in high school.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, so I don't know what issue she's working through lately.
Yeah, right, but. Right.
Yeah, but it's, and then you have interesting cast, like Todd Bridges is in it.
No.
And like, yeah, like Ian Ziering's in it, and it's just, the cast is all over the place. So
wow.
I have no interest in seeing this.
Okay, then. Well, your entertainment will have to suffice because I have spent the past week packing up everything in Los Angeles and moving to North Carolina, even though half of my stuff is between here and there, and I'm pit-stopping in Chicago now for the week to visit
You're
my family.
You're as scattered as I usually am.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But let's take a look at what's been happening at the box office this week, because somehow I have a feeling that Hunger Games is still hanging out in the top spot.
You think it might be,
maybe.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. You want to bet on that? Cause I'm not... Yeah, of course it is. But of course it fell quite a bit.
Yeah.
61 million still. Yeah. Way there.
Yeah.
But followed by Wrath of the Titans at 34.
Which was new this past
week.
Yeah,
which is pretty big, too. Yeah. Compared to what the box office has been. And then Mirror Mirror at 19 and 21 Jump Street at 15.
Okay.
And then rounding out the top five, The Lorax at 8.
Yeah, still printing money. Yep.
Yeah, for John Carter with 2, bringing it to $66 million total.
It's not even going to make $100 million. It's not going to come anywhere close.
Right. Yeah. No.
Yeah, what did Disney write off? They said they're going to write off $200 million on that movie.
Gosh, that's amazing.
And they fired the guy who was in charge of the marketing for the picture.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
And it's really sad because here's a franchise that was based on Edgar Rice Burroughs' books. I mean, the guy who created Tarzan. I think they just screwed the pooch. I think they completely missed the boat on... Because everyone we know who have seen it keeps talking about how much they like it.
Yeah, it's at least good.
Yeah.
I mean, some people loved it. Some people thought it was good.
Yeah.
But I haven't heard anything, like, completely negative about it from anyone.
It just shows what a solid marketing campaign or a poor marketing campaign can do for you in this world.
And I think just timing, too.
Yeah, well, that's true. It might have done better in the summer than it did. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all speculation at this point. Coming up this next week, we have 6 movies, actually. A couple big ones and a few smaller ones.
Yeah.
Titanic gets its 3D release on Wednesday. Yeah. To honor the anniversary, the 100th anniversary. James Cameron is all happy. Not only did he get to sink to the bottom of the deepest part of the sea, but he gets a brand new movie release for Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to dig too much into Hunger Games, but I have a feeling it's going to make some bank.
I don't get it, but...
I didn't really like the movie when it was out the first time. I know that's sacrilege to a lot of people who loved it, but whatever.
Yeah, it's not a good movie. It's a movie that, like, pulls at your heartstrings.
Yeah.
But it's a movie I've watched. I'll get suckered into it if it's on TV or something, but really we do not need it back on the big screen again.
Yeah.
Or in 3D.
Speaking of things we don't really need, American Reunion.
Yeah, but I still totally want to see it. I don't care.
This is the 4th movie with the original cast.
Horrible.
Or most of them. I think they got everybody back this time.
Yeah.
They even dug up Natasha Lyonne from somewhere. And
yeah, they did.
Made her look presentable. Got her out of some trailer park or something.
She's actually doing really well.
Oh, is she? Okay.
General. Yeah, she's really kind of beat her addictions.
Okay.
It's making a bit of a comeback, so good for her. But yeah, it's going to be a horrible movie. I don't care. I totally want to see it.
Yeah. There's a little movie called ATM. Which is a horror picture. It stars Josh Peck from Drake and Josh.
Yeah.
About 3 friends who are trapped in one of those glass ATM.
Yeah, well, maybe not good for him. But good for him that he's, you know, branching out and doing other stuff.
Yeah. I guess he did some indie pictures that got a lot of critical acclaim.
Yeah, he's really talented.
Yeah.
You know, actor and, you know, really funny comedian. I mean, just because he honed his skills on a kid's show doesn't
mean...
He's not talented.
True. There's a movie called Damsels in Distress, which is fronted by Audrey Plaza, who plays April on Parks and Rec.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam Brody, who was on the OC for all those years.
Right.
And it's one of those comedies about girls who are determined to change the male-dominated college campus. Whatever.
Right.
Mario Van Peebles directs a movie called We Are the Party, which is an urban comedy about life in...
Urban...
Yeah.
I love that. I love how you use that term. Urban. I love how we say it and, like, we all know what we're saying.
Right, exactly.
We don't have to say it.
Right.
Oh, it's urban.
Yeah. It's inner city LA high school.
Yeah.
So, and then the other one is actually a 2009 film that is getting an English language version release. It's Czech Republic stop motion animated picture scene.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Think think Tim Burton does Toy Story, and it's called Toys in the Attic.
Okay.
And it stars the voices of, or features the voices of Joan Cusack, Carrie Elwes, and Forest Whitaker. So, you know, some other smaller indie stuff if you're not going to see Titanic or American Reunion this week. Or Hunger Games for the 5th or 6th time, which I know some people
are doing. I'm sure there's people well beyond that number of times.
Oy, 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 oy. Well, if you're not going to the theater, let's take a look at what's coming on Blu-ray and DVD this week at DVDverdict.com. You go to the Upcoming Releases tab and click on the Cover Art Gallery for April 3rd.
All right, and like you were mentioning, Titanic, there's a whole bunch of different Titanics coming out on discs.
Yes.
All different versions, you know, some classic stuff and then some documentary stuff. And
yeah,
you can get your fill there.
There's a beautiful little documentary here called Being Elmo, A Puppeteer's mm-hmm. Journey, which is kind of a brief overview of Kevin Clash's career, how he started and the success he actually had as a kid doing work for regional and local TV before being
amazing.
Picked up.
It's really an amazing story.
It is. And he's a really sweet guy.
Torchwood Miracle Day is coming out on DVD and Blu-ray, finally.
So
I can ignore it this way.
There are maybe two good episodes out of that entire run?
There are probably two excellent,
yeah,
a couple more good, and then a whole bunch just really, really bad. And I love the rest of Torchwood.
Yeah.
It's one of my all-time favorite shows, and they just ruined it, I think.
I don't know what happened. I mean, Russell T. Davies has this way of kind of screwing up his own properties, and that's exactly what they did here.
Yeah, the switchover, because they did it. It wasn't just BBC. It was with Stars, and they
wanted to make
it longer,
a global thing as opposed to...
And they just... Probably, there's one episode in there that's probably the best episode of Torchwood ever.
Yeah. Oh, I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah. But it doesn't save it.
And Mikhail Pfeiffer did not need to be on this series.
Oh, God.
The man just rubs me completely the wrong way throughout the whole show.
Ugh. Anyhow, other big releases this week.
Yes.
War Horse.
Which I still have not seen.
Neither. And We Bought a Zoo.
Yeah, which is Cameron Crowe. And did not get a lot of play in theaters at all.
Did not.
No.
It did not. But if you want to check it out, it's actually also going to be our contest this week. At Verdict. There's a link on the front page to get there. So you can, if you haven't seen it, you can try to win it. Check it out.
Good to know. In anticipation of Tim Burton's Dark Shadows, which we saw the trailer for and really threw me because instead of going for the dark kind of drama, it's a wacky Barry Sonnenfeld-esque comedy.
It almost seems like a parody.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. I was shocked, and it's kind of growing on me, but the first time I saw the trailer, I was like, no, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And it's growing, but it'll be interesting to see.
And I loved when NBC rebooted the series. I think it only got like half a season or something, but it was Ben Cross and Joanna Going, and it's still available on Netflix Instant. If you want to check it out. But I thought it was a great little update. And I don't know. I mean, I love Tim Burton. I love Johnny Depp. I'm just really afraid that they may have missed the mark on this.
We'll see. But if you want the classic, like you were saying, there's a whole bunch of sets out now.
Yeah, this week. MPI is re-releasing everything, including, I think it's next week, is a complete series box set in a coffin, which for like $500 or something like that. Yeah.
Wow.
Because this was a daytime soap opera.
Yeah.
Crazy, crazy stuff. One other thing that I wanted to point out from my perspective, Bob, the complete series, which was the last television series that Bob Newhart did for CBS.
Yeah.
It got two seasons. The first season was great because he was a comic book artist and it was all about the comic book industry, which was kind of hitting its real zenith at that point. So they had all these guest stars on, and it was a really cool little tight thing. And he brought back all of his friends from his various TV shows. And then the network got involved, and in season two, they completely revamped everything, jettisoned half the cast, and changed it to a greeting card company that he worked at, owned by Betty White, and the whole thing went to crap.
Yeah. Yeah, so, they tend to do that, don't they?
Yeah, it was just too bad. But worth checking out, at least for the first season. All right. As always, DVD Verdict benefits from you guys spending some time on these pages, and I've been hurriedly trying to update this stuff, so we try and keep on top and bring you the latest and greatest that's being offered as it's available. So feel free to peruse and purchase if you so choose. Let's take a look at streaming this week.
Okay.
Over at Netflix, the last few weeks have been kind of paltry, but now that we've hit the first of the month, there's a whole bunch of stuff that is coming out, including The Human Centipede 2, if you're into that sort of thing.
Okay. And really, who isn't? Come on.
Oh, God.
Me.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Speaking of Adam Sandler idiocy, Mr. Deeds, I didn't see that one.
No.
But it was kind of, I think it was he inherited a whole bunch of money, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something to that effect. The Cutting Edge, which I know is one of your all-time favorite films with Morgan Kelly.
Yeah, it's not the greatest movie ever, but I cannot stop watching it if it's on.
Yeah. D.B. Sweeney.
Mm-hmm. Moira Kelly.
Yeah.
It's the hockey, figure skater.
Olympics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And Terry O'Quinn plays Moira's dad for fans of Lost and Millennium.
Yep.
A few documentaries. It's kind of a mix of stuff. Jane's Journey, which is a documentary of the life of primate researcher and advocate Jane Goodall. And then there's one called Step Into Liquid, which is kind of a globe-trotting surf documentary that showcases the finest places to go surfing in the world.
Okay.
If you love TV, Netflix has Sigmund and the Sea Monsters this week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, very 70s Saturday morning with Sid and Marty Krofft.
Yeah, very 70s.
Yeah. Eureka, which is the Sci-Fi Channel's recently canceled series. It's available in its entirety, and I know Will Wheaton was on that show the last few seasons.
Yeah, they had a lot of good guest stars.
Yeah. And the other one is Come Fly With Me, which if you're fans of Little Britain, Matt Lucas and David Walliams, this is their latest, which was highly controversial because they did all these type of ethnocentric stereotypes.
Okay.
Yeah, so that didn't fly too well.
Oh, well.
No pun intended. Over at Hulu is a very little-known John Belushi, Dan Aykroyd movie, and it may be the last film that they made together, called Neighbors. It's a subversive, dark comedy that doesn't really work. It's two couples who live next door to each other. Kathy Moriarty is in it. She plays Dan Aykroyd's wife.
And
it's kind of disturbing and uncomfortable to watch. For as much as I... These are two characters that these guys have never played anywhere else. Because John is kind of this meek and mousy guy, and Dan is kind of this really kind of sadistic... It's really weird, but if you are a fan of either of those gentlemen, I highly suggest you check it out.
Okay.
Hollow Man 2, which Hollow Man 1 was Kevin Bacon, right? It was a remake of The Invisible Man.
Yeah, it was him and Elizabeth Shue, and supposedly he wrote a song about her.
That's right, I forgot about that.
Experience.
And it wasn't very flattering either.
Nope.
No. But Hollow Man 2, Christian Slater takes over the role from Kevin Bacon. Three Stooges, Around the World in a Daze, which is a takeoff on the Jules Verne story Around the World in 80 Days. This was actually their last feature film. So it was Moe, Larry, and Curly Joe. In terms of TV, we got Chicago Hope is on Hulu, which was David Kelly's answer to ER.
Right. It was one of those things, you know how there's always two of everything coming out?
Like
they
Snow White right
at the same time, actually.
Yeah. Okay.
And it was, you know, see which one was going to make it. And it made it quite a few seasons and got decent ratings, but obviously ER was the winner there.
Yeah, I think they went a total of six seasons altogether.
Okay.
And then the other series from that same time frame was The Pretender with Michael T. Weiss.
I liked that one.
I did too.
And Andrea Parker.
Yes.
She was great on that.
Yeah, she played a very kick-ass agent of this, what was it called? It was the Center or something like that, this dark and mysterious think tank.
Yeah, and the thing was he was trained from a child to be able to, like, do anything.
Yeah.
To be used, and then he escapes and is out on his own, and he's just, like, going around helping people. But he can do anything. Like, he can pretend to be a doctor, pretend to be a race car driver, pretend to be...
Right.
Anything, and he has the skills for it.
And it's funny because the show kind of wound up being like Bill Bixby's Incredible Hulk, where he would kind of go from town to town week to week and
meet
people and then kind of wander off at the end. Always in search of his parents. That's what he was looking for, his real family.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, over at Amazon Instant, you get all the latest DVD and Blu-ray releases as they occur, and there's other stuff that shows up every once in a while too, like Werner Herzog's Grizzly Man, which is this mesmerizing documentary about Tim Treadwell, who lived with grizzly bears for 13 years, unarmed, and then ultimately wound up getting killed by one of them.
Yes.
Oops. Nick Cage's Ghost Rider, if you'd like to torture yourself with truly bad Marvel Comics adaptations. Mission Impossible 2, which is the really bad John Woo installment of that franchise. And then Disney's Lady and the Tramp is there as well. All right, I've talked long enough. I'm turning it over to you. What you got for television this week?
Okay. Well, Monday night, we finally, after how many weeks, finish up NCAA college basketball, the men's championship.
Yeah.
And then CBS will get back to regular programming after that. And also Monday on Fox is the spring premiere of Bones.
Oh,
and
the baby
episode.
Yes.
So... I don't know if I like that whole storyline. But anyhow, so that's back. And then House is moving and we'll be on right after it.
Okay.
So, time for House. Wednesday, there's a new show. I can't believe we're into April now and we're still having like season premieres.
Yeah, right.
But NBC, Best Friends Forever. And it's about a bunch of friends kind of thing, two really good girlfriends, and one moves in with the other and her boyfriend and that. But all the actors are from Upright Citizens Brigade.
Oh, all right.
Including one of the leads, Lennon Parham. She played Jenna Elfman's sister in Accidentally on Purpose.
Oh, you really like that
show. She was so good on that show. Yeah. She was like, I mean, it was a really good cast, but for me, she was the highlight. So it'll be interesting to see her take a lead role. Thursday, another brand new show on ABC this time. It's Kerry Washington in Scandal. She plays a lawyer at like a crisis management team in Washington, D.C. And then Friday, back to Fox, we have the, quote, spinoff from Bones, The Finder. And it's having its spring premiere after having like four episodes on this winter.
Yeah, we wondered where that thing went.
Yeah, it had like, four, something like that, and then like disappeared. But it's back. It all didn't get canceled. It is back.
It's actually a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's definitely a fun one. So that's what's happening on TV this week.
All right.
Over in music, you know how I talked last week about the kind of re-release of Katy Perry?
Yes.
Adding songs. Well, Nicki Minaj is doing it this week. Pink Friday, Roman Reloaded. And it's the album, but there's like some new songs added and, you know, new versions of songs. So if you can't get enough of her, there you go. Guess who else has a new album?
Who?
Wilson Phillips.
Shut up.
No, Dedicated. It's renditions of Beach Boys and Mama and Papa songs.
No kidding. Well, yes. That's, you know, keep it in the family.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a cool idea.
Yeah. I'll have to check that out.
If you've been missing them or you were, you know, big fan of Beach Boys or Mamas and Papas.
Yeah.
You can check that out.
Nice.
And then there's a new Johnny Cash, which is actually old Johnny Cash, but a lot of it hasn't been released.
So this is a Tupac type thing?
Yeah, it's stuff they found that hasn't been released, okay. Or it's, you know, stuff that didn't make it big. It's bootleg volume 4, The Soul of Truth, and it's all kind of soul music and gospel music kind of stuff. So if you're a Johnny Cash fan, you can check out some stuff you may not have heard. Books this week. There's In the Water, They Can't See You Cry. It's a memoir from Amanda Beard, who is the Olympic swimmer. Yeah, so that could be interesting. And then we were talking about Dark Shadows coming out. So first we have a book, Return to Collinwood. Ooh. But the interesting thing is it's Katherine Lee, who was in Dark Shadows.
Right, in the original series.
Right. So she has a book and it's all about the original series.
Wow.
And then ties it into the new movie.
Sweet.
If you're a fan, you can just go crazy this week.
Nice.
On Collinwood stuff. And then Tori Spelling, not only is she having a new baby, she's got a new book.
Yeah, so she got pregnant right after she gave birth, right? Like soon after?
Patty's like, 6 months old, and I'm scared. I know the baby's name. But so she's having another one pretty quick. But she is also known not just for 90210 and making babies and stealing husbands. She's also known for her party planning.
Oh, really?
So this is Celebra Tori.
Oh, brother.
Unleashing her inner party planner to entertain friends and family.
Has every one of her books used her name?
Yes.
Okay.
And her original TV show.
Okay.
That was like kind of like a fake version of her life.
Oh, it was a spoof kind of thing?
Yeah. It was kind of a version
of
her.
That was one with Zachary Quinto, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, he played Iran, who you'd know if you watched the reality show. Okay. That's her gay husband. But yes, okay. I know way too much about this. Damn. I'm scaring myself.
Ay.
So, okay, let me talk about something that I don't feel embarrassed to talk about. Theater.
Yes.
News. And it's actually movies in Broadway lately. Newsies just opened.
Yes.
Last weekend. Starring Jeremy Jordan.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The Dolly Parton movie Joyful Noise.
All right.
But he plays the Christian Bale role for all of you that are big Newsies Disney fans. Yeah. And another one that's actually in previews right now, it's a musical, Ghost.
Shut up. The Patrick Swayze thing?
Yep.
Ugh.
Yeah. So they, you know, made it a musical because she got it in music. Right. And it's in previews, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
But yeah, those of you who, you know, maybe not too sure about theater stuff, but into movies, here's a couple you can check out.
There you go.
Should we
switch over to news? We do. In another attempt to clean up the mess that Netflix made in separating their DVD and streaming products, they have gone ahead and bought the domain DVD.com, which will now house all of their DVD-related rental information.
Okay.
And Netflix.com will be scrubbed down to just instant streaming.
So basically, they're kind of doing what we didn't want them to do. Because the whole thing was like, don't separate them. So they're separating them again.
Yes. This is take two.
After it just about ruined their business.
Right.
Okay.
But they think they've got it worked out this time.
I don't have an MBA or anything. But I'm thinking that doesn't sound like the best move.
We'll see what happens. And I know you had something about Redbox, right?
Yeah. They're teaming with Verizon. I guess this was... The news was kind of released a while ago, but now it's moving along. They're getting into the streaming market.
Okay.
Too. Redbox partnering some with Verizon, so we'll see how that all shapes up.
All right, so your Verizon phone will be like a Redbox outlet for you.
Yeah, so we'll probably be adding that to our streaming information in the future.
Okay. Big news on the acting front, the Screen Actors Guild and the Associated Federation of Television and Radio Artists, better known as AFTRA, voted overwhelmingly this past week to combine forces and become one union known as SAG-AFTRA. To be honest with you, I cannot be any happier to hear this because
It makes sense to me. And I'm not part of either one or it now, but it just seems to make sense.
These two groups have been backbiting and undercutting each other for years and really screwing over both sets of actors. And a lot of people belong to one or the other, and there is a subset, a significant subset, especially in the upper echelons of the acting community who belong to both. But it's extremely expensive, and now we've got an opportunity to have one union, you know, collective bargaining like with the producers' guilds, and I think it's going to work out extremely well. Everybody is really happy about this, except for the small group of people who were completely against it from the very start. Al Gore's News Network, Current TV, and thank God I didn't go and work for them because they got fed up with their resident diva, Keith Olbermann, and fired his ass this week.
Yes, and he is going to sue their ass next week.
Yeah, he is. He's actually going to be on David Letterman on Tuesday to talk about it.
That should be interesting.
Yeah, but this is actually his fourth network now, and he's been fired from all four. So you got to wonder, is it the network or is it Keith?
I have a guess there.
Yeah. But he still plans on keeping his countdown show and going somewhere else with it. So we'll see.
Okay, well, good luck with that.
Yeah.
He's standing on a street corner broadcasting on YouTube.
It wouldn't be the first time somebody's done something like that.
Yep.
In unhappy people news, Chevy Chase's contentious relationship with community showrunner Dan Harmon has gone ballistic.
Oh, come on.
He walked off the set before they shot the final scene of the season, and then Dan turned around and called him out in the wrap party and told everyone to tell Chevy to F off in front of his wife and his daughter.
Okay, that wasn't nice.
Which then Chevy turned around and left a profane-laced voicemail on Dan's phone, which is now making the rounds all throughout Hollywood. So if you do a search, you'll be able to hear it, because everyone's got it.
Okay, hurry up. Let's wrap this up. I got something to listen to.
But odds are, if they get renewed for another season, Chevy will not be back.
Oh, that's going to suck.
Which is really sad.
That's stupid on his part. I mean, it's an amazing job to have. I mean, who else was hiring Chevy Chase?
I know it.
Oh, wow.
Since we're running along, I'll just do one more here. In a movie sequel we did not need, Ivan Reitman is coming up with Triplets, a sequel to his movie Twins, which is not only going to reunite stars Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito, but they now have a long-lost third brother in the form of Eddie Murphy.
Excellent. So it's a long-lost brother, not long-lost Arnold's love children. Okay.
Yeah, I guess they were all test tube babies.
Yeah. All right. Great.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So that's guaranteed to fail. Guaranteed. Yep. Put Eddie Murphy in your movie and it's going to tank. So
yeah, because it was a great idea casting somebody else that would have been excellent. No, it was Hank now. Who wants to see this?
All right, I'm shutting up. What have you got to wrap up the show this week?
All right, well, I want to talk really quick. We got an email from our friend the curmudgeon.
Oh, yes.
Our, what, one of nine fans or something. But anyhow, one of the things he brought up was Bully, and he was wondering or saying that people who need to see it probably wouldn't get anything from it anyhow, which I might have a slight disagreement with. I think there are people who bully who don't realize they are bullies.
That's true.
And maybe drawing attention to it. But the news on Bully is they have decided to release it unrated.
Good.
So they're taking the R and shoving it where the sun don't shine, and they're just going to do it unrated version, which means a lot of theaters won't show it because they refuse to.
That's
so
true.
This was really a double-edged sword with what to do. Either way, the only way this was going to get a wide release is being PG-13. That's not going to happen, so they're kind of doing it on their own terms.
Well, so look at art house theaters around your area and see if it's there, and really seek it out, because this is a screw you, Chris Dodd move.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it'll be easier for schools and things to show because they aren't showing something R-rated.
Right.
They're showing something unrated. Which...
And when it comes to documentaries, I don't think they really need to be rated in the first place.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a discussion for another day.
Yeah, that's true.
But on the Kardashian front,
yes.
To quickly wrap this up, Forbes has a new list out.
The most annoying rich people in the world?
Oh, so close. Oh. Most overexposed celebrities.
Ah.
Khloe is 10th, which surprised me. She's not higher because Courtney is 8th.
Oh, they're all on there.
Miss Kim is number one, of course.
Oh, the sad thing is that all three are on there at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. I'm really surprised that Chloe's lower than Courtney. Oh, well.
All right. Well, thank you for tuning in. As always, you can give us feedback on our oh-so-exceptional performances by sending email to mstaley@dvdverdict.com or...
mhanson@dvdverdict.com.
And until next week, do you have a parting word for us?
I have exactly one word.
Oh.
Very good. Peace.